Coming to you from the Flex Fox Fantasy Satellite Broadcast Studios in Holland Landing, this is The Weekly Show. I am your guest host, WizKid Jeremiah Johnson. And tonight, we had to replace Newton. And so we got the best guest possible here tonight, Mr. Flex Fox himself. How are we doing?
This will be the first episode of the season that I've listened to. And I'm not going to listen to it after this recording. It's just because I'm here right now.
Well, we're totally fine with that here. We're hopeful that lots of other people will also listen to the show since you're on it. You seem to be a big draw in the ratings, if I remember correctly.
I don't know why that is. I don't know why anybody would want to hear my nasally-ass voice, but I have some takes.
I mean, your face is on our podcast account and the league website, so that could be one reason.
That's not enough for them?
No, the fans always want more.
Fair enough.
You know the people. They always want, and they take and take and take. But the real question, Flex, the real question I think people are dying to hear is, how do you feel about the rising cost of housing?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it personally. I make bank, so I'm good. I mean, that being said, my rent is going up by like $200 this year, but it's fine. Okay. I'm good.
Okay. Okay, we heard it here first. No money problems for this man. If you need a loan, you know where to go. All right. Well, with that said, I want to get into the playoff matchups. We haven't been on the air for a few weeks, so we're going to be skipping over the last week of the regular season because who wants to talk about that? Who cares? No points record. Am I right?
Points records were not broken, but yes. I will give Ryan one piece of credit in this podcast, because I'm sure that I'm going to be talking a lot of shit later on. Okay. And that's that compared to the average score in any given season, Ryan outperformed my record-breaking season. He didn't pass my points total, but he scored 33% higher than the average score this year, whereas in my record-breaking season, I scored 31% higher. So I did lose that to him.
What's more impressive to you, that stat or the overall points record?
I mean, I don't think you even need to ask that question.
Okay, there you have it. Well, let's start with Ryan, actually, because his matchup was by far the most interesting, by far the most high scoring, and by far the most impressive. He put down 357.4 points, which of Daddy Matt,
299.3. Any thoughts on this?
I'm not going to lie. I was not prepared to talk about last week's matchups. That's how long it's been since I've listened to an episode of this. But I would say this is not a surprising result. At least not that Ryan beat Garth. More surprising is that Garth put up 300 points. But, I mean, we all know that Ryan's capable of putting up these kinds of scores. Unfortunately for him, he could have saved some points for this week, I feel like.
So that's where I was actually headed, hilariously, was do you think Ryan will regret, not that he has any control over it, but will he regret scoring so many points this week and struggling to score as it would seem this week?
I mean, that's not really how it works. So, right. I'm sure that we'd all prefer to have our highest scoring matchups every week, right?
Right.
All you can do is try and maximize your score in any given week. It's unfortunate for him that his high score came against Garth, but again, like I said, Garth put up 300 points last week. So if he didn't go off, if Ryan didn't go off, then maybe he wouldn't have made it to the second round even.
Do you have any feelings about Julio Urías getting arrested?
Apparently, this is something that was already known about him. I was not following that. My feeling is that I am glad that I did not trade for him from you last season when you tried to trade him to me.
And I'm glad that I traded. Yeah, he had been busted for domestic violence in the past, so this was known to the Dodgers. You're right about that. It's not that surprising, I guess. And on the other side of things, for Garth MacInnis, I mean, obviously this is not how it works, but he would have beaten almost every other, I believe, actually, no, he would have beaten every other playoff team. Would you ever be a proponent of the highest four scores going through the next round?
No. I mean, I know Garth personally, so I know that he probably doesn't give a fuck. But, you know, if he really cared about being in the second round, then maybe he should have won more than 10 games. Like, I won 10 games this year. So he deserves what he got.
Are you saying that your team is a low bar to walk over?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. You know, my 2 cents on this is he deserved better. It's unfortunate. You know, Ryan obviously deserved to win. I think Garth deserved a better fate. This might have been one of his highest point totals of the year, actually, which is hilarious to think about. But I digress. Let's move on. Your best friend, your best friends, actually, in the league. Has to be, right? You and your league management buddies.
I mean, that's not how I would describe them after having lived with them for 5 years.
Okay. But any insights you want to share there?
I mean, living with Jatheesh, as you know, is not an easy task. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I subletted to him, coming to your apartment to pick him up and his stuff and having opinions on what was going on there as an outsider walking in thinking, huh, I don't live this, a lot of this, I don't have a lot of these characteristics at my apartment. I wonder how this will translate. And yeah, not very well. Not very well was the answer. But Jatheesh and Cam did win their matchup. They made a mess of things, as they usually do. 288 to 254.5. I guess what I think about with this, which is really interesting, is Davis Schneider being the top point getter. And Cole Reagans being their second highest point getter. So if you had asked anyone at the beginning of the season, I think that would be a surprise, no?
I mean, yeah, Reagans has obviously been very impressive lately. Davis Schneider, I wouldn't have expected this, but, you know, I was privy to their conversations when they were trying to figure out who they were going to pick up for an extra bat that week.
Yep.
So all credit to them for identifying Schneider and the other guy who happened to win me my matchup. So,
yeah, I mean, I think at Cottage Week and I overheard them saying, who should we add? And I thought they mentioned Davis Schneider, but I could be wrong. Maybe that wasn't the right conversation. You know, and for Aiden, I mean, this is obviously disappointing. And I'm sure you're going to say he should have won more games. And that's all true. But Aiden was, what, fifth place coming into this? He was fourth place. So he was actually the higher seed. Should have won the matchup. Didn't. Is this not a disappointment for Aiden?
I mean, he went up against a tough team, right? Like, I'm not going to... For Garth, I said that he should have won more games. For Aiden, it's... You know, he did win more games, you know? He got himself in a pretty good seed. Just unfortunately, he came up against the Squirtle Squad, which is always a dangerous matchup.
But I mean, if you're going to make the playoffs, losing in round one is probably almost not even worth the bother.
I mean, it sucks, obviously, to lose in round one. And like I was talking about in Cottage Weekend, for my team, I wouldn't want to be in the playoffs right now because I know that I would have to get lucky to win. Like, it's a very low probability outcome. For Aiden, I would say that he had a chance to win, a realistic chance, you know? It just didn't pan out for him this year, which happens. But I don't think that he should have any regrets about how his season played out. Like, he gave himself the best shot that he could, and it just didn't work out.
I mean, yeah, I think it kind of sucks. Like, he literally lost pretty much by the point total that Davis Schneider put up. So if you think about it, he literally lost to them just making an ad, which, like, has to be super irritating when you put in a whole season's worth of work.
It's painful. I'm sure it's very painful. But, you know, that's how it goes. You know, the playoffs are all about anything can happen. Like, I think these are both two good teams. But even if you are way better than the team that you're facing, you could still lose to them, right? So that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and I mean, I've trumpeted on this show many times how good the Squirtle Squad are with managers. So I think that's proof in the pudding right there that they're excellent at what they do, and it paid off for them, got them the win this week. Moving on to a team that I wouldn't say it's lucky, but he's, you know, given his point total, might have been lucky to still be around. The Bash Brothers taking care of business over the podcast host Newton, 242.8 to 193.8. I don't have any preliminary thoughts to kind of get you going here. So what do you make of this mess?
I'm getting big voodoo magic vibes from RKR this season. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he had a very hot run towards the end of the season. He cooled off a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but just the way his playoffs are going so far, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go all the way. I said it at Cottage Weekend that he was the most dangerous team, and Ryan tried to clown on me for it. But, you know, right now, one of those teams might make it and one of those teams might not. It might not be Ryan, so.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get to that, but you're not wrong. Is Cody Bellinger the best acquisition of any kind this year?
Did he trade for him, like, during the season?
Yes, he gave up a LM1 for Cody Bellinger. For me, that's how I know.
Okay. I don't know. I don't really have a take on that, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, when you look at it, what went wrong, in your opinion, for Garth in this matchup?
For Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, he just didn't put up enough points, man. Like, he's the only playoff team to score under 200. It's as simple as that. Like, I don't have the box score open right now. You know, that's not enough to move on in the playoffs unless you get lucky. So,
yeah, I mean, he was the lowest scoring playoff team. He was the second seed, losing to the seventh seed.
I respect him dropping Christian Walker to pick up Campusano. That's a very Jathish move. And lots of respect for you there, Newton.
Well, I hope that respect keeps him warm at night, because I know if he was on here, he'd be disappointed. He was second. He was talking all year. I know you don't listen, but he was talking all year about how he had a good shot. He always comes third. He's basically going to be third. Well, he's probably going to be eighth. So there you go. Last playoff matchup, and I don't know if it was a surprise. It wasn't to me, but Tillo taking care of business, 260.9. beating the Raccoons with their 215.4. The Raccoons at Cottage Weekend, they knew they were in tough. Do you think this is what they expected?
I mean, it sounds like it. I would say that, I'm sure all of the playoff teams wished that they were facing the Raccoons in week one, even before they saw these results. Mm-hmm. Because they had a very, very poor second half of the season. Kind of surprised even that they put up 215 points, to be honest.
Me too. Actually, when I looked at it, I was surprised that they were not the lowest scoring team. And at the beginning of the week, I think they had like no points. They got a lot of their points in the second half of the week, which is surprising. For Tillo, I mean, he's not the highest scoring team. He's not even the second highest scoring team. You know, if you're him going into the next round, are you concerned that 260 points won't be enough?
I mean, I forget what channel this was in, but I do recall Tillo saying that he was going to beat RKR by more than 50 points this week. So I don't think he was too concerned coming into the week. Mm-hmm. Obviously, things aren't going his way right now, but I think that he was pretty confident coming off of his matchup with the Raccoons. I'm not sure if that had to do with the Raccoons being bad, or if he if he's just naturally confident, or in his words, maybe that's not confidence, that's delusions.
He's probably a pretty confident guy. I don't know him that well, but he seems pretty confident. You know, you said you were going to talk some shit. So any parting thoughts on any of the playoff teams before we move on?
I mean, I'll save the shit talking for the round two discussion.
Okay.
Okay. As far as parting thoughts, I think that round one went exactly the way that I thought it would go for the playoff teams.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's fair. I think you could have argued that maybe Newton had a better shot at things than he ended up actually having, but I think that's probably right. Hopefully Aiden doesn't censor us or something, because it might upset him. Okay, well, let's move on to the premier competition, which I know you agree Europa is that. And it would only be right of me to start with your matchup out of generosity and kindness. So you won your matchup, 211.4 to 191. And it didn't look like that the entire week. So do you want to give us kind of a breakdown of how things evolved and if you were shitting your pants or not?
Yeah, okay. Obviously, I had a lot of big talk in this week. My matchup was a lot more comfortable than the final score looks, obviously because of my legal pickup, which is very disappointing. But there was on Saturday, I would say, yeah, on Saturday, Nick outscored me by like 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the end of that day, he was leading by like 10.
Yes.
I didn't have any starts left. And I'm not going to lie, I was getting pretty anxious at that point. I was like watching my starts on Saturday. And every time I switched to a different start, a different bad thing happened. Which seems to be par for the course whenever I try to watch games my players play in. But yeah, I think throughout the week, with the exception of Saturday night, I was pretty confident just because I know that my team is significantly better than Nick's.
Yeah, so that's where I was kind of going to go. You finished, I believe, the top seed in Europa. Nick was the lowest. Nick is obviously not in your class. I think that's fair to say. Do you think this was more Nick overperforming, your penalty, and a little bit of underperformance from you? Where do you kind of see yourself on that scale?
Yeah, I would say that all of those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe overperforming is not the right word, but Nick definitely had a solid week for his team. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the best week that he could have, but more than he scored more than I expected him to be honest.
Yeah.
And then for me, I scored lower than I would normally expect out of my team, at least over the second half of the season, even without factoring in the penalty. I think my starts let me down. And thankfully, it still worked out, basically.
Yeah. Well, they don't ask how. They just ask, I don't know what the saying is, actually. I had to take this back. They don't ask how you win, just so you do. Okay, well, let's move on to the highest scoring team in Europa, which happened to be myself. I guess I used up all my points, too, a la Ryan. Because I put down 260.3. Chris had a 75-point penalty, so he only ended up with 93.3. I'm not good at the maths. I think it would be about 168 if he didn't have his penalties. Do you have any hot takes on Chris getting his penalties, whether he's a coward, anything like that?
No, I do not think Chris is a coward. He made an honest mistake, and he did not yell at me when I told him why he was getting those penalties for round one. So I think he took it well.
Okay.
He understood the reasoning, which I respect.
Okay.
That being said, this was a free matchup for you. Like, there was no matter, even if you had a bad week, you still would have won. So,
Yeah. Wait, so are you saying you told Chris in person that he typed in all caps. I mean, we need to
know. No, I've never met Chris in person. He has told me he wishes to never meet any league members, with the exception of Aiden, I guess. But he did ask me over Slack on the Sunday when we announced his penalty, why he was getting it for round one. Trying to like poke holes, I guess, in the language of the Constitution. But I clarified it for him. I'm sure he also had conversations with Cam. And he, maybe he was more aggressive with Cam, but when I gave him my answer, he kind of just accepted it. So.
Yeah. Chris does not seem like the kind of person you want to be alone with in a room. So it might be best if none of us meet him anyway.
Well, I mean, reasons. I think that Kaminsky might be pretty excited to be alone with him in a room based on the on the writing in Chris's past articles, but I'll leave that for him to answer.
Yeah, we need to get Kaminsky on here to elaborate on that and just in general. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any other thoughts really to add here. I think this probably would have gone this way either way. Chris, I do wonder where the direction of his team is. I don't really understand what he's doing, and a loss here does not help that.
Obviously, even without the penalties, he didn't have an impressive week this week. But he had a good record this year, right? He beat me in the regular season. So I feel like, I don't know where he wants to take his team, but he has a decent foundation.
But I feel like this is like what Chris always does, right? Like he always just has a solid record, somehow wins matchups, but then just like falls flat in any kind of playoff matchup.
I mean, I don't really remember his previous years. Obviously, he hasn't won the title before. He has beaten me in the Vaz possibly two times. So,
yeah. Okay. I don't know how much of an accomplishment that is, but that's fair.
But the last time that I did face him in the Vaz finals, he messaged me after I announced that he won the Vaz and said, oh shit, that was the finals. So
yeah, he didn't even know. Well, I think that makes it more embarrassing that you lost to somebody who didn't even know the matchup was important.
Yeah, I won't argue that. My finals performances, both in the Vaz and in the playoffs, have not been anything to write home about.
Hey, it looks like you're going to have a Europa final to make amends for that. So there's that. Okay, well, let's go to the closest matchup of Europa, the Battle of the Jefferies. And it was Lim and his newly minted Team 69 putting up 180.9, enough to beat Chow as 178.5. I don't know what happened to Chow. Injuries is my guess, but man, did Aaron Judge not come through for him. He has to be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he didn't really get much from his starters.
Yeah.
Like a couple decent starts, but no big returns, not much from the relievers. And yeah, only, I mean, fittingly, 69 points from his bats. Obviously, it was a down week for Chow and a very good week for Lim. Although I will say that I've been very impressed with Lim this season, managing to get to 8 wins. I think that was definitely a big surprise for me this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lim and you like would be up for most improved teams this year. Having met Lim now, I know he's a real person and not just like a high school kid, which is great. That's awesome. And he's a good guy and great at baseball. So good for him for winning. Chow, I know, had higher expectations. I know he wanted the high-end LM picks, which you have astutely pointed out are not nearly as valuable now. So,
I mean, he told me in the car ride up to the cottage that he wanted to try and avoid facing you in round one. And this just goes to show you what happens when you try to pick your opponents in the playoffs. I'm a big Dwayne Casey believer that You just got to face who you face. And
okay.
If you try to pick the worst team, you're probably going to get clowned on.
Well, that's exactly what happened. And turns out Chris was the worst team.
There you go.
Don't
try to pick your matchups, people. You're pretty here first.
But the last matchup to get to here, and it was interesting, my affiliate farm team here, the big beefy baseball boys, taking care of business. Thank goodness. 238.4 to Ben's 235. This was the most vocal matchup on Slack. Seemed like people were really into this. I don't really know or care much about either team, but do you have any hot takes on this?
Not really hot takes. Obviously, both this and the Jeffrey matchup, those were pretty exciting on Sunday. But for this matchup, I was really hoping that Ben would get it done. I was cheering him on along the way. Just because Ben has no opportunity to pass me in the draft lottery rankings, but Graham does. So that was why I was supporting Ben. But yeah, pretty much the best week that Graham could have hoped for. I was looking at his scores throughout the season, and like 240 is basically the cap for him. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He went all the way and just squeaked past.
Well, you mentioned the draft lottery, and that's a good time to bring up, wondering here, you don't have to tip your hand, but we'll ask you, is there a particular player or set of players that you think will be targets for you if you get that top pick?
I mean, the only... So... Obviously, if I were to get to the Europa final, I would try to win it. But really, I do not give a fuck about winning Europa. All I care about is getting the top lottery spot.
Yes.
And if I win this week, then I guarantee myself the top lottery spot. So the reason why that's important is because in the lottery, you can drop up to three spots. And there are three players in the HM. Assuming that you keep Salas, there are three players in the HM that are the cream of the crop. And afterwards, there's a big drop. I think we all know who those three players are. Yes. Dylan Cruz, Wyatt Langford, and Paul Skeens. I haven't looked into them enough to have a preference between them. I just want to get one of them.
Okay, so I want to clarify something. So I will keep Salas. That's fine. Skeens is in double A, right? So he's going to be a high minors pick.
All of them are in double A.
Is Dylan Cruz in double A? I thought he was in single A.
Yes, he's in double A.
That's really sad. That makes me more sad than I already was.
Like I said in Slack, you're getting bunch of high LM picks the year when all of the best players have moved up to HM.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I traded Garth, I accidentally picked the wrong high minors pick. I meant to pick my own, but I picked his and was like, whatever. And now I regret that. And when I went to go get those LM picks, long story short, I was telling Chow and like a few other people, this is going to be the best draft in like 10 years because they're all going to be low minors guys. It's going to be awesome. I never foresaw that all these prospects would get aggressively promoted under the new CBA. It never occurred to me, so... Serves me right. Okay, well, let's move on to the Boz so I don't end up doing any self-harm on the podcast. Ian, I'm going to combine these, get them over quick, but Ian and Mike were victorious. Ian winning 207.8 to 181.9 over Jamil, and Mike winning 174.9 to Ash's 153.5. We had extensive discussions about Ash at Cottage Weekend, which we will not repeat here. But of these four managers and of these two matchup victors, is there anything we can concretely take away?
I don't really think so. Like we've talked about to this point, playoffs are pretty random, especially for teams in the Vaz because they're shit.
Yes.
I know that Jamil, I'm pretty sure he cared about his matchup. So it's unfortunate for him that he lost. But I'm not surprised, obviously, that Mike beat Ash. So,
well, Ash did drop Anthony Bass this week. So that is a step in the right direction. Does league management, or you on behalf of league management, have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think, you know, it goes without saying what we think about the fact that he waited until he was eliminated to drop Anthony Bass. Fun fact, though, about Ash, even though he has now officially come last place in the Vaz, none of the other teams in the Vaz can get higher lottery odds than he can. So,
so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it never mattered.
That's funny. All right. Well, that wraps up round one of the playoffs. And I think it went pretty according to the script, as the kids say. So we will move on to this week. And hopefully you have a lot more fiery takes and shit talking, because otherwise I'm going to have to supply the shit talking. And that's going to be very bad. So we are going to start with the playoffs. And we're going to start with the semifinals, because that's what everyone cares about. And we're going to start with your best friend. Friends. All of them are your best friends. Ryan and the Squirrel Squad. Ryan's up currently 150 to 137. How do you see this matchup ending?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be careful here because I don't want to jinx it, but
okay.
Ryan has one more start, and it's Lucas Giolito, so I think we all know how that's going to go. Squirtle has four more starts, albeit one of those is Jesse Schulten's, so it's whatever, but I think that Squirtle Squad is in as good of a position as they could have hoped to be in at this point in the matchup. And I'm hopeful that they can get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pick a side in terms of who I root for. I don't really care. I know Ryan messaged me on Slack basically going through all his pitchers and telling me why they were terrible or they were arrested or whatever. And all of that is true. He's having a disappointing week. We kind of chatted about it. Maybe he wished he could have had some points this week. But looking at this, I do agree with you. I think the Squirtle Squad is in a good spot. I think they have a strong chance of winning. Cole Reagans is just a complete stud. Yeah, I mean, anything but a championship for Ryan is, in my opinion, a bust. Do you agree with that?
Sure. I mean, he's obviously, he has the best team in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's not in the best position at the moment, but even though he only has one more start, like, his team is still capable of going off to get the job done. So I'm sure that Squirtle Squad is still wary, even though they're in a good position. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. If Ryan continues to be cold for him, which would be really good for anyone else, pretty much. But yeah, like I said, I don't think very many people want to see Ryan win the championship.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think that's fair. I don't have an opinion, but I think a lot of people would like to see him lose. I think if he loses this week, it's going to be really hard for him to shake that reputation that he can't get it done when it matters, because he already kind of has that reputation, and this is probably the best team he's ever had.
I mean, he has gotten it done when it mattered, though.
Well, once. But he's had good teams for half a decade now.
There are only so many people who have won a championship, though. Like, there's a limit. You can talk shit, but, like, it's not really meaningful when he has a championship and the people talking shit probably don't, you know? Like, me included. I don't have a championship, obviously. I'll talk shit all I want because fuck Ryan. But I'm sure that doesn't... He doesn't think about me because his team is the best team in the league and he has won a championship, right?
He does think about championships. I can confirm that much. But yeah, he probably doesn't think about either of us, which is fair. But I think for me, Ryan's had probably the best team in the league for 5 years and won championship to show for that, which is still impressive. But yeah, could be better. In terms of who Ryan could, or the Squirtle Squad could be facing, the Battle of the Richards is going to decide that for us. And the Voodoo Magic, as you called it, is currently on top, 126.7 to 91.6. I know you're probably rooting for RKR in this. At least I think that's probably where you're headed. But do you think he's going to get it done?
I mean, it's pretty close right now, to be honest. Philo got pretty unlucky this week with Scherzer going for minus 6.5. RKR has two more starts, assuming that he chooses to max on Sunday. He has one going on Saturday as well, but he's already at six.
Yeah.
And Tillo has three more. So I think that can pretty much cover the gap. So it's pretty even right now. I like both of these guys, so I wouldn't have a problem with either of them winning, but I will say that I think that only RKR's Voodoo Magic would be capable of taking down Neeson should Neeson move on to the finals.
Just stealing all my questions, man. I was going to say, if you're the other side, who do you want to face? Well, we know who you would want to face.
If I'm Neeson, I want to face Stillo.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that. I think RKR has a much higher ceiling of the two teams in terms of point totals, and we've seen that over the course of the year. He's put up multiple 300-plus point totals, and I don't think Tillo has, but I could be wrong with that. He's much more likely to hit a mid or low 200s than RKR would be. It's going to be interesting, man. It's going to be really interesting to see how this goes. Big stakes here. Tillo has never won, I don't believe. RKR has never won. Cam and Jatheesh together have never won. And Jatheesh has never won it at all. So lots of potential here for first-time winners to add to the club. Is that something you want to see?
I would obviously love to see some new blood in there. I don't really want to be purchasing Ryan another signed Astros jersey. I'm kind of tired of buying Astros jerseys at this point.
Okay.
The people at Fanatics think that I am an Astros fan because I've bought so many Astros jerseys from them. So I'm trying to avoid that with all of my might. I think in general, it's nice to see new people win. That thinking applies for me even outside of fantasy, like in sports in general. I want to see teams that haven't won before win.
Agreed.
I don't really count Squirtle Squad as being a team that hasn't won before because Cam has won twice, right? So I would, if I had to pick who I wanted to win the championship, it would be one of the Richards.
Yeah, if we're going based off just that, I think RKR is the guy. Super humble, super chill, super nice guy. Never won. You could buy him so many different jerseys. You could buy him a Juan Soto jersey. Nice San Diego jersey. Come on, that'd be great.
Hey, there you go.
You know, if Ryan wins, this is just a question. Will league management buy him a Julio Urias jersey?
No.
Okay, why not?
Why are you asking me this question? You know why not.
I mean, I know you guys believe in morality, but, you know, if you really want to stick it to Ryan, you don't want to buy more Astros jerseys. Urias is on his team.
I don't want Ryan to win, but I'm also not going to spend his $700 prize on a Julio Urias jersey for obvious reasons.
Okay. I mean, I think he would sign it with blood, but then that would be cool. But yeah, probably not great. But you don't have to buy an
Astros jersey. Next time you win a championship, I will buy you a Julio Urias jersey.
No, I think you should buy me a Wander Franco jersey.
Those might be harder to come by.
Well, you know, they might just be extinct. I dropped him in my other league, so yeah, he might just be done. Okay, well, we're going to move on to the consolation bracket, and I have to point this out just because it's funny, but Newton is currently dropping 181 points on the Raccoons and they're 113. So Newton's already at his point total from last week. Looks poised to have a great week after he's lost. So, quickly, any thoughts on these consolation matchups, or do they not matter at all?
They don't matter. Like, this is just to decide picks between 16 and 13. So, Newton clearly yep. cares very heavily about getting a pick four spots higher, but those picks are so low that the difference between them is negligible. So we shouldn't spend too much time talking about these. I'm not sure how many of these people are even paying attention to their matchups, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I own Newton's picks, so I don't think he's motivated to win at all.
Fair enough.
Because I own his high minors one and his low minors one, so I doubt he really cares. And I doubt Aiden cares either. He's winning his matchup over Garth MacInnis, and I'm sure Garth MacInnis does not care about much of anything in this league. So if you have 2 cents to throw on some Garth MacInnis info, go ahead. Otherwise, we can move on.
Sorry, what was the preamble to that?
The preamble was if you had any cool Garth MacInnis facts, or if you know about what Garth MacInnis thinks of the league, to release that information. But otherwise, we can move on.
Honestly, I haven't talked to Garth MacInnis in a number of years. It's difficult to tell when he is making decisions versus when Cam is making decisions for him. But I believe that the Ken Waldichuk pickup caught Cam by surprise based on his message and prospect announcements. So that's a fun fact, I guess.
I mean, this is interesting. So I think Cam drafts for him, right? That's fair to say. Cam makes his picks, I think, in the minors draft.
Yeah, probably. They are at least like Cam makes heavy suggestions and provides him with their draft list.
Okay. Well, those picks have been remarkably successful. So Cam's almost drafting two teams, and you could argue his dad's team is more successful than his team. In the prospect drafts. Well, to a degree. Yeah, I think so. At the very least, he's more successful than like half the managers in this league. So that's entertaining.
I mean, nobody should be surprised that Cam and Jatheesh are good at drafting prospects at this point. So
you're right. We should not be surprised, but we should be surprised that they're so good at it that they can draft two teams that are better than most people's team. I think that's
I'm really not surprised. People have gotten better at drafting prospects in recent years. Mm-hmm. But it takes a lot of time to be good at that in any even year. And very few people have as little of a life as me, Cam, and Jatheesh. So it's difficult to live up to that.
And even if you do lots of research, they could still bust or blow their arm off. So yeah, it's true.
Sure.
It's a lot of work. Well, let's focus on the teams that are still competing for that top pick. And like you mentioned, if you win, which is disheartening and likely to happen, you will have the top lottery odds and you're well on your way. 137 to 76.3. Nelson Velasquez, of all people, leading the way for you. Bo Naylor is pretty cool. I like him a lot. And Corbin Carroll is injured, but you're going to win this, right?
I mean, I'm pretty confident right now, but anything could happen. Graham could still come back. We both have the same number of starts left, 4 more starts.
Yeah,
I suppose, like you suggested in Slack, he might be able to get an extra Sunday start.
I don't think it matters.
You know, I'm just trying, again, to not jinx myself right now, because the only thing I care about is getting the top lottery odds.
Yes, and you're well on your way to that. So if you win, you'll have those odds. And you mentioned already you don't care about winning Europa, and that's fine. So I guess I haven't looked at the odds recently. No one's posted an update, so I haven't checked. But let's say Graham and I both lose and we're facing each other for third. I don't think either of us will care about that matchup. I do wonder, so, I guess. Sorry, go ahead.
I spent some time looking at the various scenarios, and I can give you sort of the breakdown right now. The 4 Europa semifinalists, so Graham, me, you, and Lim, are almost certainly going to make up the top 4 lottery odds. Chris could still get in there, but he would have to win both of his next matchups to have a chance of that, which it looks like he's going to lose this week. So I wouldn't expect that. Like I said, if I win this week, I'm guaranteed the top lottery odds.
Okay.
The order that myself, Graham, and Lim finish in will determine the order that we pick in. So if I finish ahead of Graham and Lim, then I'll have higher lottery odds than them. Okay. And you could say the same for any of them. You need to finish two spots higher than either Graham or Lim to get better odds than them, and three spots higher than me to get better odds than me. So, you pretty much need to win Europa in order to move ahead of any of us.
Okay, so I own Graham's pick, so that's fine. I think the problem is, like, it must be weighted very heavily to previous Vaz winners.
It's weighted most heavily to the results this season. But there is some influence on what happened in previous seasons, right? So right now, the reason why Chris is still in the running to get a top four lottery pick is because the previous two seasons, he had almost the two worst seasons that you could have, to be honest. Whereas for you, I think you got into the playoffs one of those years, or no, last year you
go 3 years,
previous two seasons. So last year you finished like kind of one year old pack, and that's why, you are kind of behind Lim, Graham, and I.
That's lame. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, I could in theory have won Europa last year and this year, and still not have the top odds. So
well, you positioned yourself well this year by being the bottom seed in Europa. So you can win Europa this year, and then if you're still in Europa next year or anywhere outside of the playoffs, you got the most possible lottery points that you could from a season where someone was in Europa, even though you won, or you have a chance to win.
I'm sure all the good prospects will be in the high minors next year too. So, yeah, I mean, I think
don't trade any of your picks.
Yeah, I won't do that. But I think what we're going to start seeing is, I guess it won't matter to players of the current draft year, but anybody that's missed over this year will probably get picked up for the next high minors, right? Because it's worth keeping some high minors players, like an Ethan Salas or whoever. Because you're not going to get to draft them necessarily, right? So you have to kind of keep them and hold on to them and hope for the best. And there's those circumstances. Like Ricky Tiedemann was one example, I think, last year. But Ricky Tiedemann was not an example.
Brandon Pfau was an example.
Okay, Brandon Pfau was an example. Ricky Tiedemann should have been an example, but you bought the pick, basically, to draft Ricky Tiedemann instead, which was smart. So
yeah, I mean, I think that this is honestly going to be a trend now because...
Right.
Of the removal of like rookie ball, essentially.
Yeah.
Where the high minors draft is becoming more and more valuable. I don't necessarily think that it's going to be as valuable every year as it is this year, but certainly last year it was more valuable than I had evaluated it to be in previous years. And I think that's still going to be the case moving forward, where the top handful of picks, you'll be able to get a pretty quality prospect.
I agree. I think it's we're gonna have to reevaluate the strategy here to accommodate for that. And of course, the year I decide to stay old school, it burns me. But we digress. So we'll move on to the other semifinal of Europa, which is my matchup. I'm currently ahead 97.9 to 75.8. I'd be lying if I said I was super confident in what's going to happen. I am not. Lim has lots of starts left. I assume you're rooting for Lim, but do you have an inkling on what's going to happen?
I mean, you have more starts left than Lim does. So, plus you have a 20-point lead. I feel pretty confident that you're going to win. I don't really have a horse in this race. Like I think that Lim would be easier to face in the finals if I make it there, but I don't know. He could go off or I could have a bad week. Both of you are doing pretty bad this week, so
yeah.
And like I mentioned, I really don't care about winning Europa, so I think that you're going to win.
I don't know. I think Lim has more starts, actually, because I have four tomorrow.
When I looked, you have five starts. Lim has four.
Well, you're not going to
max out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then you have the same number of starts left.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, Lim could add some starts. We'll see. I don't know what he's planning to do. He could add starts. I actually would like to win Europa. I think it's cool. So I'd like to win. But
I know you would like to have more shirts in your rotation. So you can maybe you'll get to a point where you can wear that shirt every day of the week.
That's the goal, honestly. And hopefully they can be different colors, you know, like a gray one and a yellow one.
I mean, unless you plan on convincing the European Union to change the color of their flag, you're not going to get a different colored shirt. So good luck with that.
Can we at least move like the crest around or something so people don't think I'm wearing the same shirt every day? Like, like on the arm, maybe?
I won't make any promises.
Okay. Like I'm very open to having the shirt just look different enough that people don't think I'm like a homeless man wearing the same shirt every day. Because I have worn it to work also on like casual Friday. So yeah. That would be great. I mean, it probably won't be an issue since I probably won't win five Europas, but you never know. So, okay. Well, I just don't really care about the rest of these matchups. And I know that's rude, but I just don't. Like, Ben is winning his matchup over Nick. And Chow is winning over Chris. I think the most interesting part of this is the lottery odds that you've kind of broken down for us, right? Which is Chris could still move up. I don't know where the other three sit or if they're kind of just locked into, like, shitty odds. But
they are not going to be able to get into the top four. Like their previous season performances have been too good to allow that with their current positioning, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, still, those picks are still valuable. Like they're still pretty high. So anytime somebody has been eliminated, it's tough to tell which of the teams are actually paying attention at that point. And who still cares about their draft positioning that much. I think for all of the rest of the matchups, even the ones outside of Europa, the only one that really merits talking about is Mike versus Jamil, because Ian's matchup really doesn't count. It's only a matchup because ESPN won't let us put him on a bye in the playoffs.
Yeah. So I guess what I'll say for these four teams, instead of talking about their matchups, because we don't care, if you're in picks 5 to 8 of the draft, it's supposed to be a deep draft year. I know the top of the class is in AA, but there is a lot of depth in the class. Do you think those teams in the 5 to 8 range are going to get good prospects?
So I think we should make a clarification here that those teams are not fighting for picks 5 to 8. They're fighting for lottery odds number 5 to 8. Getting the fifth highest lottery odds would give you a 7.5% chance of moving up. Getting the eighth highest would give you a 2% chance. So that's a pretty significant difference. I wouldn't expect you to win the first overall pick if you got the fifth highest lottery odds, but it's certainly possible. So I would say that it's important. And even if you do end up with picks 5 to 8, I think I haven't done enough scouting yet to point out names to you, but I do think that you will get high-end prospects in the first rounds of both drafts.
So I'm going to throw out last year's lottery, actually, as an example. Lim, I believe, was either the fourth or the fifth highest lottery odds, and he won the first pick. So for those teams that are still competing for those spots, you can definitely get the number one slot from there. As you're mentioning, it's not likely, but it has actually happened recently, hilariously. He used that pick to draft Drew Jones, and we know how that turned out.
You can tell how salty Jeremiah still is that he was booted from the top lottery spot.
Like, it worked out great for me, but I'm still mad that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think you would have drafted Drew Jones if you were first?
Oh, I know I would have. Yeah. Yeah. I was planning to. I was, remember sitting there at the draft going, okay, it's like Drew Jones, Jackson Holiday, but I would rather Drew Jones. Because at the time, he was the better prospect.
Yeah.
We didn't really think he was going to be so injury prone. So, and Jackson Holiday didn't have that much, like nearly as much height at the time. So it worked out for sure, but yeah, still salty about it. I'll never let it go till the day I die, because I'm not leaving the league until I'm dead. So, okay, so let's go to the Vaz. And as you mentioned, Mike and Jamil are fighting it out for a chance to battle in the Vaz final. Mike is currently leading 100.4 to 83.5. Both of these guys are your friends. Do you have any kind of preference one over the other? Who you think's going to win? Any other thoughts?
Yeah, so Mike has two more starts and Jamil has five.
Okay.
Neither of them are close to maxing out right now. So even though Jamil is down by like 17 points right now, he still has a very good chance to come back. I appreciate Mike picking up Tanner Bibby.
Yes.
Earlier today. I don't understand why he didn't do that earlier, but I guess it didn't make a difference. So I know that Mike is going for it. He's trying to win this matchup. But I think that Jamil has a better shot right now, even though he's down.
So the Vaz kind of reminds me of like curling playoffs, if you've ever watched those, where it's like the first team.
Honestly, that's where we got the format from.
Okay. Like the first team wins and goes to the final automatically, and then like the page playoff for like semi-finalist and whatever. And the thing I hate about the curling playoffs is like you can lose to the top team, and in theory, it doesn't matter at all. Like if you're in that one particular spot. So for Jamil, he already lost his stats. But if he beats Mike and then beats Ian and get like stats in the final, it didn't matter that he lost to Ian at all. So
yeah, but that's the reward for having finished higher, that you get a harder first round matchup, but you also have the flexibility to lose one game and still be alive.
No, I totally get it. I just think like Ash in this scenario is completely useless.
Of course.
Yeah, anyway, there's only so much you could do when there's four teams battling it out for a piece of furniture with your face on it. There's not much that can be done. But it is interesting that Jamil could win this matchup and then win in the finals as well. I don't think it's going to happen. Any prediction on who you think will win the Vaz overall?
I'm going to say Jamil, to be honest.
Okay.
I think that... I know Ian mentioned the possibility of having a Vaz in every different piece of property that he owned as one of his goals.
Yeah.
So there's some level of motivation there, I guess, but I think that Jamil wants it more than him. And that's really what the Vaz is about. It's about how much you want it.
And I'm gonna take Stads because I think his team is better. I think we live in an economy where the 1% gets what it wants. He is definitely there. You know what? He may not want it as bad as Jamil, but he needs it to flex his wealth and his status in society. Look at me with these vases at all my properties.
These 99-cent IKEA vases.
They all match. They're a collector's set. They're at three different properties across Ontario. It's just a flex, man. I don't know. It's just an elite flex. So I'm going to go with that. We've cursed two teams, so Mike is obviously going to win. And I'd be okay with that. All right. Well, you know, we kind of took a roundabout way here. We screwed over some teams that didn't matter. But we got a recap done. Thank you. Any final thoughts? Any trash talk? Anything you want to get out of your system here until next year?
I mean, the only thing that I'll really nail home is that we all need to be pulling out our rosaries today and really praying hard that Ryan Neeson does not win the championship this year.
Okay. I mean, don't you have like some divinity in you or something that you could like use to make this happen?
I mean, I'm putting everything that I have into it. My entire soul is invested in Neeson not winning, but there's only so much I can do, you know? Unfortunately, I don't have the authority to just dock Ryan 150 points because I feel like it. So
I want to quantify this. So if you had to pick, Ryan does not win the championship or you lose your top lottery odds, what would you rather?
Ryan does not win the championship.
That's crazy. That is a level of commitment beyond what I thought.
My commitment should never be questioned.
I mean, your commitment to hating Ryan is impressive.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't know how you take
it. I'm probably going to get some salty text messages from him about this afterwards once he listens to it. Probably tonight, to be honest.
Are you going to get some salty snaps?
Yeah, they could come on Snap. They could come on Slack. They could come on Insta.
TikTok.
Messages me pretty much everywhere. So.
So you went on multiple trips with the guy. And this is how you feel. It's interesting. Okay.
I mean, I didn't choose for him to go on those trips with me.
This is just brutal. I don't think we can see this.
I don't want to bully Ryan. Since he triple dipped, I will never forgive him for that. So
when did that happen?
When me, him, and Mike went to Florida, we went to this random like barbecue place and we got I think it was like nachos or something. It had three different kinds of dips. And he dips a chip in the first one. And then with the first dip on it, dips in the second one. And then with the two dips on the chip, dips in the third one. And he continued doing that.
That's crazy.
Can't tell me that's normal behavior, man.
I'm not going to tell you that. I actually thought you were saying he like ate a piece of the chip and then dipped it in and then did it again.
No, I wouldn't have nearly as much of a problem with that.
Really? That's interesting. I think it's grosser if he puts it in his mouth and then puts it in the dip again. But like mixing dips is also very bad. So that explains a lot. Because I never thought, I had a misconception of what the triple dip was. So now the league knows that this man is a triple dipper of mix and dips. So there you have it.
Yes, you should all shame him every single day in Slack. So that he will become so demoralized that he can't win in the playoffs.
Yeah, that or like hide your dips. So he only has like one dip to ever use at a time, you know? Maybe that. And demoralize him, but like definitely only provide him with one dip at a time so he doesn't mix. All right. Well, this has been a great episode. The antidotes have been awesome. So thank you for taking the time to sit with me tonight, have this chat. We will undoubtedly replace you next week. You will undoubtedly not listen. And that's fine. That's great. Any parting remarks?
No, you already asked me that. I already gave my parting remarks.
Well, I want more parting remarks. So that's why I asked you twice. All right, that does it for us.
You got me here today. So that's the most you're going to get from me.
Yes. Yeah. And in essence, you've given more parting remarks. So thank you. That covers it for Flex. I'm Jeremiah. Good night. Good fantasy.